The market is moving fast. And all of that speed puts you right in the middle of the action.
I feel the need for speed.
Trying to pick out the stocks, mutual funds, and ETFs that are your real targets from the ones that will make your portfolio crash and burn. Investment research firm New Constructs looks for the telltale signs in corporate filings that show which way a security will move next.
Warning! Warning!
Whether it is flying a true course or misleading the investment public about its prospects.
Son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
New Constructs separates all securities into those that are attractive and the ones that are, well, dangerous.
Danger! Danger!
Every Monday on Money Life, company president David Trainer shoots down one security whose actions he thinks have it headed for trouble.
What you have done is wrong.
Whether you simply sell it or get aggressive and sell it short, you'll want to know which securities to have on your radar as Money Life enters.
That's right. We are hunting for trouble. We're shooting it down and steering clear of it, making sure it does not affect you. And we do that each week when we talk with David Trainer, the president of New Constructs, because New Constructs evaluates securities on a scale from most attractive to most dangerous. Now, the attractive ones, well, typically they are things that are undervalued, things where maybe they're underappreciated. And the dangerous ones, well, they're the things that typically look pretty good until you dig down deep. And at New Constructs, they start at the footnotes level and then work their way up. If you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. You can also follow them on Twitter, at New Constructs. David Trainer, welcome back to Money Life.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you very much.
Who is in the danger zone this week?
Box.
Danger, danger.
All right, Box. They're right out of the box, literally. It is ticker symbol BOX, the brand new IPO. I think this is the first time we've had an IPO in the danger zone. You know, not a lot of footnotes for you to look at. Why Box right out of the box?
Yeah, you're right. You know, we recently added IPOs to our coverage. It's been sort of a pain point for us for a while, but we're glad to finally have that under our belt here. And, you know, it's pretty illuminating. I mean, the stock comes out, it's up about 66% on its first day. And I think what we're seeing here reminds me of the tech bubble, you know, and we're right around the time when the tech bubble really went nuts, right? Mm-hmm. Beginning of the year when the Fed was still super, super loosey-goosey with rates, and this was the part where the market sort of went on that crazy spiral like a bottle rocket, you know, when the fuse is about to go out before it blows, right? And this is a liquidity. The movement in the stock is excess liquidity in spades. It's a manifestation of the recklessness that people will have with capital when they have too much of it laying around and it's too cheap.
Is this all about valuation and it just blows up? And you can't stomach the valuation because I know what's there? Or is there something else there as well, where as you take a look at the structure of an IPO, recognizing that it's not your usual, hey, let's do a discounted cash flow model kind of thing, where you haven't been able to really look at their cash flow over a long stretch of time. Is there something else there structurally that makes you say, this came out the wrong way?
Yes. You know, the structural issues here are the lack of meaningful competitive advantage, right? Cloud services is not a new business. You've got competitors all over the place. You know, I mean, I've had people tell me that they like Dropbox better. You've got Amazon and you've got IBM and people providing other types of cloud services that can help businesses just as well, potentially, as these guys can. So that's sort of the underlying context. Like, the barriers to entry aren't that strong. And the valuation is implying that they are incredibly strong. Now, do we see many accounting issues yet? You know, I mean, I'll tell you this, their profit margin is -125%. All right? Their return on invested capital is -100%. To justify $23.15, they got to grow. I'm going to give you two different scenarios. They can either grow at 20% compounded annually for about 30 years, which means that their margin goes from 125% to, on average, 8%. Their capital turns, or how efficient their balance sheet is, goes from under 1x, which means they're making 80 cents for every dollar of revenue, to 5.8x. So, like a huge improvement there in terms of revenues to capital, which is highly unlikely if they're going to be growing that fast. They're going to have to invest quite a lot to create the infrastructure to provide the service to do all this stuff. And their return on invested capital will go from minus 100% to, on average, 41% over 30 years while growing revenue at about 20%.
Even if you could see it as being possible, there's just no way to forecast it on a stock that's this new.
Well, there's just no reason to make that bet.
Right.
Right? There's just no reason to make that bet because there's other better stocks out there. There's other things that we call attractive and very attractive, where the expectations in the stock price are for zero growth for the rest of the company's life, as opposed to the ridiculous amount of growth for a business that's, as you said, right out of the box, and who really doesn't have meaningful competitive advantage.
Is there a catalyst here beyond just, hey, it's an IPO and IPOs have pop and then investors kind of wake up and at some point they go, yeah, we paid too much?
Well, you know, typically that pop is when the institutions who get the lion's share of the IPO allocation decide that they want to start selling because they feel like the retail crowd, which has a disproportionately small share, so there's a supply-demand imbalance that causes the stock price to go up. This was known as IPO flipping during the tech bubble.
Mm-hmm.
So I see two catalysts here, and either one is going to blow the stock up. As soon as the institutions decide to start selling off, and that's going to be tougher because there's limits now and rules around how quickly they can sell. But this is stock is a quintessential example of one that's going to go to about, I'd say, probably under $2, under $3 in the flash of an eye as soon as there's more transparency around when rates are going up.
Wow. It closed on Friday at 23.15 roughly. So if it's going down to $2 or $3 eventually when Wall Street wakes up and smells the coffee, well, that's a 90%+ loss. Yeah, that would qualify as dangerous. Really interesting stuff, David. I love that we are getting a chance to do IPOs, and as you pointed out, something new that you're doing at New Constructs. Thanks for telling us about it.
Yeah, I look forward to talking about more of them, Chuck. Thank you.
Remember, if you want to learn about all that they're doing, not just on the IPOs, but on stocks, mutual funds, ETFs, and everything else, go to newconstructs.com. If you want to find out when David's blogging or they're putting other stuff up, then you'll go to Twitter and follow them at New Constructs. All right, we're heading for home on the Monday, January 26th edition of Money Life. Up next, the Money Life, it's not the Money Life Market Call. It's Joe Quinlan from U.S. Trust when Money Life continues.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.